morning in our lesson about choosing our friends wisely. Since we're talking about friends today, and this is Friends Day, we're going to do some things just talking a little bit about the friends that we choose and how do we choose the best friends that we can. Now, once you're finished listening to me, and I don't want to see anybody looking at your watch, okay? When we're finished with the lesson this morning, then we're going to have a fellowship meal in the fellowship hall. That's going to be one of the things that's going on. And so all of our guests, all of our visitors that are here, you are our honored guests, and we would like for you to go through the food line first, okay? So don't be shy, don't be bashful, don't be standing out there in the hallway going, well, I don't want to be the first in line, okay? If you're the first in line, then you get the first choice, okay? So don't be bashful about that. We want to have you as our visitors to go to the front of the line, and that way we make sure that you get your first choice and get all the best food, okay? But that's what's going to happen. Now, while that's going on, while we get the fellowship meal going on and for all of our visitors and so forth, in the library, we're going to have something else going on. And we are going to be, those who have volunteered already, a few of you have come and said, hey, I'll help out with that. Might need a couple of more. Come to the library when we finish here. And if we have too many, I'll kick you out and send you to the fellowship hall. We're going to be putting together 35 barbecue meals. And once we put those together, then we'll be taking those to the Dinwiddie County Sheriff's Department. And that is our way of saying thank you to them for what they do for us. So that's part of our project today as friends of the community, to reach out to them. And as I talked with the sheriff about all this, he told me, he said, well, you know, we don't mind coming there. And I said, well, it's not that we mind having you there. You know, it's the bad reputation thing, having a bunch of cops hanging around. You don't know what's going to happen in there. But, you know, I told him, I said, it's not that we don't want you there. You're welcome anytime. I said, but what we didn't want to happen with this is to say, hey, guys, we're fixing this meal, and if you want it, you got to come to us and get it. Rather, what we want to say is we really appreciate what you do for us, and so we put this meal together, and we're going to bring it to you and to serve it to you. So that's what we're going to be doing. So we need you know, all of our visitors and so forth to go to the fellowship hall, and the folks are going to be getting that whole part going, go to the fellowship hall and make that happen. And while that's happening, I need the folks that are going to be helping put the dinners together in the library so we can get all that together. So all that's going to be happening at one time. But that's what we've got going on this afternoon, and we are glad that you're here with us to share in all of this as our friends. Now, before we get into our lesson, one other thing I want to tell you about, next Sunday, 21st, 5 o'clock, right here in this room, will be the showing of the movie Johnny. Brian is kind of got the movies lined back up again, and so we're going to be beginning that for our Sunday. One Sunday a month, we have a special movie, a family movie and so forth. You bring your popcorn. I think Brian usually has some popcorn here if you forget yours. But just a great opportunity to spend some time watching some really good, wholesome, family-type movies. So that's what's going on next Sunday here. All right? Now, you know, there are a lot of, if you look online, just put on their friends' quotes on a Bing search or Google search, you get all kinds of posters, all kinds of little quotes and so forth on friendship. And so, you know, best friends, they know how crazy you are and still choose to be seen with you in public. I have a lot of people like that, you know, I call friends. They know I'm crazy. But you know, that's one of those things that we think about when we're talking about friends. Here's another one that I thought was really kind of neat. A friend is someone who knows the song in your heart, okay, and can sing it to you when you've forgotten the words. That's kind of a neat thought about really what it means to be a friend. A friend is one who believes in you when you've ceased to believe in yourself. Okay, a lot of times we struggle in life and we quit believing in ourselves, but a real friend, a true friend, is someone who never stops believing in you. They keep encouraging you and helping you along. Helen Keller once said, and certainly she would be, I think, in a great position to know this, walking with a friend in the dark is better than walking alone in the light. And that's how important true friends really are. there's the backside of friends and friendships and so forth oftentimes that we have to consider that like this one says, don't fear the enemy that attacks you, but the fake friend who hugs you. When we're talking about choosing friends wisely, you know, a lot of times we have quote-unquote friends that aren't really friends at all, you see. And so, again, that's why we need to be really focusing a lot on how we choose our friends and the friends that we choose and doing that wisely. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians tells us, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good behavior or good character or good morals, some translations say. And so, you see, part of the thing is that it's really, really important for us to pay attention to the kind of friends that we have and the people that we hang out with, you see, because they can be either good friends or not so good friends, all right? So that's what we're going to be focusing on today, is about choosing our friends, all right? Now, how many of you remember, how many of you saw, probably most everybody in here, the Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade? Y'all remember that movie? It's been, you know, a while since I'm surprised that more of you haven't seen that. Okay. All right. Well, you know, in that movie, the movie is really kind of the whole idea of they're looking for what's called the Holy Grail. It's the cup of Christ, okay, the one that he drank from at the Last Supper. And that's really what the whole search is all about. Well, at the end of the movie, they finally find this hidden room where the cup of Christ is supposed to be. And so they find their way into this room, and there in this room is this old knight. He's been living for hundreds of years, and his job has been to guard the cup of Christ, okay? And so what happens is, you know, Indiana Jones goes in there, and the bad guy in the movie, and I don't remember what his name is, he goes in there, and the knight says to them, choose wisely, because what's in this room is, There are just a whole bunch of chalices or cups, you see, to choose from. And some of them are really beautiful. They're gold, they're silver, they got jewels on them, and some of them are just kind of plain and ordinary kind of cups and so forth. And so the idea is you got to find it, the right one amongst all of these, and so you have to choose which one is the right one. You only get one choice, okay? And so his warning is, choose wisely. All right? So the first one to go is the bad guy. He goes and he's looking, you know, amongst all the cups, and he's trying to figure out which one would it be. And his criteria for choosing the cup is he's looking for the most beautiful one that's there. The one that stands out above all the rest. And he finds one, and it's just absolutely beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's gleaming and shining. And he says, this is the cup of Christ right here. And so he picks up the cup, and he goes over to this little fountain. It's supposed to be the fountain of youth kind of a thing. And so he goes over, and he dips it in there, and he drinks from it. And the old knight says to him, whoops, that makes I push the right button, you chose poorly. The man just kind of disintegrates and so forth. You know. Well, now it's Indiana Jones' turn. Okay? And he goes and he's searching, he's looking. And he finally finds the most ordinary, plainest looking cup that's there in the whole room. He says, this is the cup of a Jewish coffee. Picks it up and he dips in the fountain there and he drinks and the knight says to him, you have chosen wisely. Okay. Now, you know, a little bit of movie, you know, idea just to kind of illustrate the whole concept of choosing our friends wisely. One of the things that we really have to pay attention to is, what's the criteria that we use when we're trying to choose a friend? See, what are we looking for, in other words? So let's talk about that a little bit. Qualities of friendship, okay? Qualities of the kind of people that we want to have as friends. What do you look for when you're looking for a friend? Okay? What are the kinds of things, qualities, characteristics, and so forth that you really want to have in a friend? Is it going to be the ones that, you know, sparkle and shine and all those kind of things? Or is it going to be something different? You see, what you're looking for makes a lot of difference as to what you're going to find. So what do you look for in a friend? Here's a list that I found, you know, all, again, all these kind of quotes and so forth. The top 10 reasons why you're my best friend. Okay, and there's all kinds of things on there. You know, you laugh at my jokes and you don't call me fat and all those kinds of things. The very last one on there, the number one reason you're my best friend is if I was lost, you'd find me. So, you know, we have these lists sometimes, and we may not have written it down like this, but, you know, we generally have this list in our mind at least of the kinds of qualities or characteristics that we look for in a person that we would call a friend. Okay? So that generally has to do with, I don't know what your list is, but generally it has to do with things like this. It's a person or someone who likes what we like. In other words, it's that idea of great minds think alike. And that doesn't mean that we necessarily have to agree on everything in our lives, but generally speaking, we kind of think the same way about things and so on and so forth. So that's usually the kind of person that we look for when we're thinking about a friend. Then there's people that are fun to be with. You know, we like to have fun, and fun means different things to different people. But, you know, think about it this way. If a person isn't fun to be with, then I'm probably not going to spend a lot of time with them, so therefore we're not likely to be friends, right? So we typically look for people that, you know, are fun to be with or enjoyable and so forth. Also, someone who is trustworthy. Okay, trust is an important part of friendship, isn't it? Okay? So we want to be able to find somebody that we really can put our trust in. And then someone who shares our interest. Whatever it is we like to do, generally speaking, we like to find people that have a common interest. You say we do those things together. Again, if we have somebody that we don't share a whole lot of common interest in, and we're probably not going to spend a whole lot of time together, and therefore we're not going to develop much of a friendship, is it? So, again, we typically like to find people that we have shared interests and so forth in. So those are some of the things that we really look for when we're looking for a friend. But what about the things that we typically do not look for? In other words, what are the characteristics that we try to avoid when we're looking for a friend? Well, sometimes people advertise that they're just not very good. They're not good friends, and they're not going to be. Then there's always those folks like Lucy. You know, Lucy claimed to be Charlie Brown's friend, but was she really a good friend? Anybody that would snatch a football out from behind you, you're getting ready to kick on a regular basis, I would not consider to be a very good friend, okay? But that's just kind of the nature of Charlie Brown and Lucy and their relationship. But when we're looking at friends and we're looking for friends and friendship, some of the things that we typically are looking, you know, to avoid in people to be friends is those who are deceitful and manipulative. You know, I don't want somebody who's, you know, kind of, you know, doing things behind my back that I don't know about and maybe saying things, talking about me doing things and so forth is going to cause me problems. We don't typically want to have friends like that. Okay? People that you can't count on when you really need them. They're not trustworthy. They're not going to be there for you. They may say, well, yeah, I'll do this, or I'll be there, or I'll take care of this, or I'll help you with this. But when you really need them, they're not trustworthy because they're not there. That's not really typically the kind of people we look for to be friends, is it? Okay. And then there's those folks who cause trouble all the time. I mean, how many of us go looking for people and say, I need to go find me a friend. I want somebody to get me in trouble a lot. No, we typically don't do that, you see. We're mostly looking to avoid trouble and avoid those people who are going to get us into a lot of trouble. So we tend to avoid that kind of folks when we're looking for friendship and friends and relationships along that line. So again, here's the idea. Choose our friends wisely. We've got to be careful about who we choose to be our friend. Now, there's two things I want to focus on this morning in this, two different friendship relationships, okay? The first one is that of being friends with the world, okay? the world wants us to think that it is our friend. Okay? And when I'm talking about the world, I'm just talking about worldliness and the whole idea of living, you know, living out here in the world and doing what the world says and the world dictates and the world wants and so forth. What the world puts before us, you see, is this idea that the world is really good and it's nice, you know, and it's helpful to us and the world really likes us. The problem with that is that it's deceitful. Okay? The world shows a lot of attributes of true friends to us, and that's to try to lure us into a relationship with the world, so to speak. You see? In other words, you know, the world tries to convince us, hey, we think alike. It, just stop for a minute and think about a lot of the advertisement that is on television that manufacturers, the people out there selling stuff, advertise, and the way they advertise to try to get and entice us to be involved with it. Okay? You know, one of the commercials that stands out in my mind from way, way back when I was a kid, and beer commercials, okay, you say whatever you want to about beer, okay, I'm not promoting it, all right? Okay, you guys understand, I'm not promoting it, but, you know, they've got some of the greatest commercials out there. Why? Because they're really good at promoting what they sell, okay? But how many of you remember what Gusto is? Anybody remember what Gusto is? You're showing your age. Okay? You know, one of the beer commercials, I think it was Stroh's, you say you only go around once in life, and so you have to grab all the gusto you can. Yeah, some of you are remembering that now, okay? Grab all the gusto you can. And of course, gusto, I think, is defined, you know, as all this fun. And they would show these, you know, pictures of people just having a great time and having fun and so forth. And the idea behind it is, if you really want to have fun in life, then you need to drink our beer. You see? Those are the kinds of messages that the world sends out. And so if you think like we do, then look at how much fun you're going to have in life. Okay? And so that's one of the messages that advertisers put out there. Hey, we think alike. Okay? And so you can really have a great life if you'll just indulge in all of these kinds of things. I mean, we hear things all the time like, you deserve this. You see? You're worth it. And all of those kinds of things that say, hey, look at what you can have if you'll just be friends with the world. Have fun. Again, you know, look at all the fun. I mean, my goodness, look at what the world offers in terms of entertainment and fun. You know, just look what you can do on your smartphone these days and entertain yourself just with that. I mean, you don't even have to turn on your TV anymore, okay? But I mean, there's just so much out there that is focused on people having fun in the world. And that's not to say that all of the fun that the world is offering is bad for us. A lot of it is good. But we've got to be careful that we don't get sucked in by this friend who is saying, this is what life is all about. Because if that's all that life is about, is having fun, we're missing some really important things. But that's what the world is telling us, you see. And of course, you know, there's all the things that we have in common. Look at what you do and look at what we're offering from the world's perspective. And, you know, hey, we just kind of go together, right? I mean, you can have priorities for life if you really want to. You see? And the priorities have to do with all of this list of things that will make you happy and take care of your car and you and all those other kinds of things. So the message that the world says is, we're your friend. We're your friend. But in reality, the world is not our friend at all. The world will stab us in the back. Okay. Because the world is full of deceit and sin and trickery and manipulation and lies. And we need to understand that. We need to be aware of that. Because if we're going to choose our friends wisely, then we need to know the kind of friend that the world really is. James tells us whoever will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. You see, the idea is you cannot be a friend of God and a friend of the world. You cannot live a worldly life, you see, and be faithful to God. The two are opposed to one another. That's what the message is all about. So we have to choose our friends wisely, and if we choose to be a friend of the world, that is to go along with what the world is offering and living a worldly life, then we're not going to be in a relationship with God. See? You cannot be a friend of God and a friend of the world at the same time. Okay? I like this particular quote that I saw. I asked God to protect me from my enemies, and I started losing friends. Okay? Now, apply that principle not only to people in our lives, but to the world in general, and all the things that we like about the world, all the things that the world kind of sucks us in and claiming to be our friend. And how many of those things, when you really ask God to protect you from your enemies, how many of those things that you're involved with the world in would you start losing? See? How many of those things would you start losing if God were to protect you from your enemies? So choose your friends carefully. The other choice that we have is friends with the Lord. Okay? Friends with the world, that's on one side. That's one choice that we have. Okay? The other one is choose to be friends with the Lord. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 9. And I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel really good about it. Jesus was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Okay? That's what the Bible says about him. Jesus chose to be friends with people who needed him in their lives, not people who didn't think they needed him. Okay? He chose to be a friend of those in need of his salvation and his redemption. He was a friend of sinners and tax collectors, just like you and I are. Okay? And the thing that we have to understand about Jesus' friendship is this. He loves us as we are, but he does not want us to stay that way. In other words, we need to understand that Jesus wants to be our friend. He wants to be in our lives, and he loves us. He loves us already. And he accepts us where we are, but he doesn't want us to stay in that condition. He accepts us in sin, lost in sin. But he doesn't want us to stay there. He wants to bring us out of that. Look at what the Apostle Paul tells us. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So as a friend, Jesus doesn't say to us, look, you go and get your life all straightened out, get all these sins taken care of, get all everything right in your life, and then come let me know and I'll be your friend. Jesus says, I'll be your friend as you are. I accept you as you are, with all your spots, with all your blemishes, with all your sins. Now let's talk about how you can lead a different life. Okay? I want to help you to be what you really can be. That's the kind of friend Jesus wants to be with us. In our text that we read as we began this morning, just a part of that, Jesus tells us about how great love really is. That there is no greater love that can be found in this universe than for someone to lay his life down for his friends. Okay? A person who is willing to give up their life for their friends is a true friend. And that's what Jesus did for us. You know, when he was hanging on that cross, some of those who were there observing his crucifixion were mocking him. And they said things like, well, he saved others, but he can't save himself. If you're really the Son of God, come down off of that cross. And what they didn't understand was their statement was true. He could not save himself and save us at the same time. In order for us to be saved, he had to die. And Jesus, as a true friend, chose to die himself rather than all of us die. So he laid his life down for us because he knew he couldn't save both. He chose to save us rather than himself. Wow. What a friend that is. You see, I think one of the greatest things about having Jesus as a friend is that when the going gets tough in our lives, he's not going to run. When we talked a few moments ago about being trustworthy, someone you can really count on, you see, that's the kind of friend Jesus is. Because when things really get going tough in our lives, whether we're struggling with sin, whether we're struggling in relationship, whatever it is, whether it's physical problems that we're having, health issues, whatever the problem is that we struggle with, whenever the going gets tough, Jesus doesn't run. Instead, what he does is he reaches his hand out. That's a true friend. One who will be there no matter what. You can choose the world, be friends with the world, which would be a poor choice. You can choose to be a friend of Jesus, which would be choosing wisely. Okay? But it's a choice that all of us have to make in our lives. And let me just, as we're finishing this up, let me emphasize to you, this is not a choice. And when you're choosing friends, when you're being friends with someone, that's not a choice that we make one time in our life and say, okay, I've got this friend and I've chosen you and I've chosen you and I've chosen you. You're my friends and so I don't have to worry about that anymore. I believe choosing friends is something we do every day in our lives. That we choose them over and over again. You see, that's the nature of a real relationship. Because in that choosing, we have to choose to sacrifice and to give up and to die to ourselves. And am I willing to do that for this person? Yes, because why? They're my friend. And so it's not just a one-time choice you make. It's an everyday thing that we continue to choose to be in that relationship. And it's the same way with Jesus. That every day we choose all over again that relationship. Okay? And so I'm glad that he's my friend. Is it yours? We're going to stand together and sing a song in just a moment as we finish up here. And while we're doing that, we just extend an invitation. It's an invitation to be able to come and say, hey, I've got this going on in my life. I've got that going on in my life. I'm struggling with this. I need some help with this. Or whatever it is that you need, to be able to come and say, you know, can you pray for me? Can you help me? Can you teach me? Can you guide me? Here's what I need. It's also an opportunity for those who have not chosen to be friends with the Lord yet. Maybe you want to. Maybe you're ready to do that. You just haven't done that yet. It's an opportunity for you to do that. To say, yes, I want to be friends with the Lord. Not only do I want to be friends, but I want Him to be my Lord and Master. And so I choose Him as such. And so if that's where you are, maybe that you're not a Christian yet because you haven't given your life to Christ, or you're ready to become a Christian today, to choose Him as your friend, then you can do that right now this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then declare Him as such. Okay? Declare Him as Lord of your life. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God in relationship. Have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning. You don't have to wait. We'll even hold up our lunch for you because it's that important. You need to know that. Okay. I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone. If you'd like to come up and talk with me about anything going on, Dale will be in the back to receive anybody. If you'd like to have a private conversation or prayer with him, he'll be back there in the back to receive you. We can't help you if we don't know what's going on, so we offer this time as an invitation. Let's stand together and sing.